This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What's going on?
Watch a little baseball.
Good Tuesday.
Debating whether or not I have to, you know, go back and do some stuff with Pete Alonso. I mean, you know, for a while there, my man crush had faded, but... I'll tell you what, it's picking up steam again. I would have power bottomed the hell out of him. I wouldn't say that recently, but...
Not even a minute into the program.
Yeah. We're right off the bat. Well,
a minute.
He did it again. He hit another one. Look, I don't know if I'd power bottom, but, you know, I'd probably fool around with him a little bit at this point. Holy Pete Alonso. He's making himself a bunch of money.
The big hurt.
The big hurt.
Isn't that what they call him?
No, it's the polar bear. The big hurt.
Big poppy.
Big hurt's hawking boner pills again with Doug Flutie and...
Well, they pay him a lot of money.
Who else is doing this? Doug Flutie and someone else. I think it's Andy Van Slyke.
Really?
Yeah. Speak of the... Like, where did Andy... Like,
I loved his game.
Well, who didn't? You know, pirate, great. But still, like, I think it's Nugenix. The Nugenix folks were sitting around and they're like, well, we got Frank Thomas... We got Doug Flutie. We need one more. You think we need one more? We need one more. Who the hell was sitting around and was like, you know, what about Andy Van Slyke? Like, what?
Did like Frank Thomas like cross paths with him at some point? He's like, you know who's a good guy? Andy. He had low T at
was
one point.
Was Carney Lansford? Like, was he not available? What was Robbie Thompson? What are we doing? Just random Dickie Thawne? Andy Van Slyke? That is the most, I challenge you to find a weirder celebrity endorsement than Andy Van Slyke, because the Jennifer Coolidge stuff is going on, but she was in White Lotus at least.
Yeah, that's more recent and a little bigger than Andy Van Slyke's career.
Tell me something that Andy Van Slyke has done that anyone has thought about him in 30 years, and yet now he's hawking boner pills.
I don't have an answer for that. I don't have an answer.
If I ever meet Frank Thomas, my question to him is going to be like, hey, just level with me, man. Like, Andy Van Slyke, where did that come from? You're right. Maybe Frank just knows him and was like, hey, he'll do it. Jimmy Johnson was doing those for a while. Rafael Palmeiro. I mean, I guess that they pay you enough money, right?
Maybe Frank and Van Slyke shared an agent and he's like, hey, how did Frank get in that? He's like, just give me the word, man. He's like, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, see, I think you're onto something with the agents.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Like, those are the guys who are having those conversations,
yeah,
right?
The agent had a beat on they were casting that And he was like, got this old guy. I haven't made any money off of him in years. How about Andy Van Slyke? And they're like, all right.
He's not good for much, but if he'll do boner pills, you know, we'll use them.
And the Nugenic folks were like, he's half the price of Frank Thomas.
They're
like,
you saying he played pro ball? Oh, okay.
Done. Let's go. Yeah, he hasn't. He last played in 1994.
Yeah.
I was in middle school, for God's sakes. And now?
He was a fun guy to watch.
Now he's hawking me pills.
Did he wear glasses?
I don't remember Van Slyke with glasses.
No.
Who am I thinking of? Another pirate, perhaps.
That I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't wear glasses, I don't think.
I do not remember him.
He was with the Cardinals as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he had a, did he have a stand? I think he maybe towards the end he bounced around like Philadelphia maybe, putzing around there. But I remember him with the, Pirates would be where I.
Well, the Mets are playing right now.
Yeah.
Nice little play on defense just now.
1-0. My Mets.
Kung Fu Panda has homered.
Someone's saying, go get Chris Sabo. Now, there's a guy that I would buy boner pills from. Chris Sabo, I feel like he's trustworthy. Speaking of the goggles, I'll buy those.
The sports glasses?
Yeah.
Chris Sabo was kind of the first, wasn't he?
Well, Kareem, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, Kareem, Dickerson, Warm. But yeah, Sabo, I remember, and Sabo had the Johnny Unitas a-hole cut going on.
Sabo kind of the first in baseball.
Yeah, I don't remember many. Many guys in baseball don't wear those. Like, that's a rarity. But yeah, Sabo had those. What, the he's playing third, right, for the Reds?
Sure.
You're like, man. I know he played for the Reds. I think he was a third baseman.
Yeah, he was a third baseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't know that? Come on.
Not well, the three of us.
They called him Shoeless.
I did know. That's Shoeless Sabo. Why I said
Shoeless Chris.
Shoeless Chris Sabo.
Yeah.
What? I don't remember.
That's what they called him. Chris Big Poppy Sabo.
As someone points out on the Vancouver Ford text line, hey, Frank, can you recommend anyone to hawk our product? You know, had a hard time keeping it up. Andy Van Slyke.
Played with the Cardinals, Pirates, Orioles, and Phillies.
You think Van Slyke's upset? Like, what the hell are you saying, Frank? Frank's like, hey, man, I just remember you talking about in the locker room, you know?
Or maybe they did it.
Yeah, maybe he knows. By
firsthand.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I remember the struggles, man. Here, check this.
Well, exciting first segment talk there for you guys.
There you go. Thank you, CW. Coming right out of the chute.
By the way, Polar Bear.
Yeah.
Doing the Dame Lillard time thing. What's up with that?
I don't know. I don't know what
can't
that
be
is.
Stealing that.
Is that like licensed? Is that is Dame the first one to tap his
no? But
his
I
watch?
Think you got
to
be original. You know, you don't want to be stealing other people's bits.
A lot
That's
of athletes
lame.
Running out there around doing the night night these days too.
Yeah,
I saw it in
the
President's
the
Cup.
It's a thing.
Now is that the Warriors?
That's the Steph Curry thing. Yeah. That was his. He did it a couple years ago and then became like uber famous for it after the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't like the copycat.
Tatista's a douchey. He flexes and points at his arm, and he's not even big. I mean, that's, I don't know. Do you just run out of, like, how many celebrations can you do?
Marcelo Zuna does, like, the Euro step when he rounds third base after the home
Tatis
run.
Tatis does that, too.
Yeah, Tatis.
He does, like, a skip thing,
he's got
right?
a whole bit.
Like, yeah.
He does.
Where's Fernando there? Rodney shooting the bow and arrow?
Yeah, right into the sun.
Firing that thing. I don't know. You got to have, you got to do bits.
Spit on that thing.
Nowadays, it's all about bits. You're known unless you're doing something.
Are you scared that if Jesse Winker has the biggest hit in the series for the Mets, that he will high tee himself like before he rounds the bases?
He'll just spontaneously combust.
Yeah, and therefore he's just like, they have to pick up his pieces.
What happens
on the base?
If Jesse Winker hits a game winning home run and
he
does
dies.
Spontaneously combust at second base, do you have to, because like he never touches home, do we get a pitch runner? Do we just roll his corpse?
That's a great question.
Some ashes?
You know what? It'll count, and it'd be. And I know this because of your own Mets. Do you remember the whole Robin Ventura Grand Slam single? Do you remember that thing?
I don't remember that.
It was like it was either to get into the playoffs or it was like an elimination game, and the rain was coming down, and Robin Ventura hit a home run, and the tarp crew came out and covered the field before he could get around the bases, and they only got to first base, but they gave him credit for a home run, even though he didn't circle the bases.
So I'm asking a serious question here. So if I launch one, you know, I hit a moonshot, 525, out of the stadium, do I have to round the bases, or can I call it good?
No, you have to go.
You're supposed to have to, but...
Well, you have to go. You
have to go.
Except for the one time Robin Ventura didn't have to.
I mean, if you didn't have to, they wouldn't. They always do.
Okay, what if I blow my knee... Like
okay, well, that's a different question.
All right, well.
And I think, I don't know. I think there are rules that stayed.
Do you make you? Do you have to crawl?
I think if it's a I think if it's a moderate injury, you got to make your way down there,
huh?
And get on that home plate.
Interesting.
And spit on that thing.
I'm fascinated.
Spit on that thing.
And if it's a major injury, I don't think we've ever seen it where there's a major injury or even a death.
Yeah.
Rounding first base.
Well, I would think it'd be amazing if you had to, like, cart someone. Like, who was the, was it Hugh Freeze that coached from the hospital bed? Like, what if we had to Greg Oden, we put someone on the stretcher board, but then we wheeled them around the bases. And then, like, as long as the wheel of the gurney touches the base, then you're safe. Because, right, because if you miss a base on a home run, can't you go back and challenge that, right?
If you miss a base.
Well, I know you can. Like, if you, if someone hits a double and you're rounding the bases to come home and you don't touch third, you can challenge that he didn't touch third. Does that apply for a home run as well?
I think it does, yeah.
Where's an umpire when we need it?
You can appeal.
We need a rule guy.
Oh, look, the great Bambino is up again.
Yes, the polar bear.
Getting ready to hit another one.
I certainly hope so. Suck it, Phillies.
Focus. All right, well.
Focus.
Anyway, we'll try to get an answer on that.
Yeah, see if someone, I mean, there's got to be some baseball, like, savant that's listening to this that's, he's like a
it's
high
like,
school,
well, duh,
he's
guys.
A high school umpire and he's
Who
very
Who doesn't
angry,
know this?
Dumbass.
Idiots. How do you host a show?
Yeah.
Well, I don't really know, actually.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you that either. Someone hired us all those years ago, and I think we just keep showing up.
I'm reading that.
I've just never thought about this. I don't know why it occurred to me now, but since you hit a home run, you walk around. You can take as long as you want. You know, Tatis does this stupid little step. And
if a baseball player injures himself while rounding the bases after hitting a home run, the situation can vary based on the severity of the injury. Let's skip down to severe injury.
Yeah.
In the case of a serious injury where the player cannot run at all, they may be unable to complete the trip around the bases. If this happens, they might crawl or be assisted by teammates or trainers, but this is quite rare. The umpire may call for medical assistance if the player is down and unable to move. And then the next one is, if a player is unable to complete the run and is deemed unable to continue to play, the run might not count depending on the specific circumstances and league rules. However, if a player touches home plate before collapsing, the run typically counts. Well, that doesn't help us.
That is the most like wishy-washy rule.
That's chatbot.
That gives me no answer.
That's GPT.
We've come no closer to figuring this out.
GPT doesn't know anything.
So it's up to the umpire's discretion. I love the idea that he can crawl. Well, like Kirk Gibson, right?
Oh, yeah, you can crawl.
Well, I mean, Kirk Gibson's like, you know, he's doing fire engine noises down there, but supposedly like that dude could barely move. But like if he collapsed at second base, I don't know how that happens. But here's this. What if they don't need your run, right? Like if I hit a 3-run homer, but I only need 1 or 2 to win, then I can just stop. Cause you know, I'm just like, well, I'm done. I'm not making my rounds. Yeah, I'm winning runs scored.
Well, I don't think they have a scenario where if you hit a 3-run homer, only 2 of the 3 count. I don't think it works that way.
I don't know how that works.
Well, I do know how that works.
Do you?
Yes.
I don't think you do.
The guy you have to touch home plate. And if you don't, it's not a 3-run home run.
But I don't need a 3-run home run to win.
But it doesn't matter.
Let's say it's bottom of the ninth.
But it doesn't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
The other 2 runs would not count.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you are so unconfident. Yeah.
I'm about a minute away from having audio evidence that just is not true.
Damn it.
By the way, someone says I was going to relay the rule, but now I'm afraid to be high school umpire guy. It's a valid point. Relay the rule, damn it.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Just tell us.
Because Rob's over here talking out of his arse. He doesn't know.
Don't be afraid.
Look, the worst that's going to happen is we're going to make fun of you, which we'll probably do anyway. So just go ahead and throw it out there. We've stumbled upon a great quandary here.
I do knew that.
No one has the answer. I do not know.
You don't know that.
I don't.
You don't knew that.
No, I don't knew that. He did it. He did a lot of dirt.
Yeah.
All right. So this is the scenario. 1999 NLCS Game 5.
Okay.
The Braves can win the series with a win. Mets are facing elimination. They're at home in New York. Bases loaded for Robin Ventura.
A drive to right. Back to Georgia. Ventura run around the bases.
you ever seen anything like this? He's got to circle the bases for his grand slam to be official. I'm looking for the umpires, and they've left the scene.
So he didn't run.
So what happened?
He didn't run.
So they gave him a 7-3 win, and his teammates mobbed him between first and second, and he never circled the bases.
So the game was tied.
And he hit a grand slam to win it.
They didn't need his run.
But they still gave him
For whatever reason, like, it was raining. They got out of there. The umpires just, like, I don't know. It was a bizarre occurrence. I'm sure there's more on it.
By the way, Jesse Winker just went yard.
Gonna get a lot of high tea.
Do I have to like Jesse Winker now?
He's doing the watch thing now.
Oh boy, what is?
It is not Winker time. Stop it!
It is not. It's not Winker time.
No one's ever said that ever. Not even his wife.
I certainly hope that the Mets don't adopt the.
Well, it appears they already have.
Damn it!
Well, I saw Winker do both wrists. Does he wear two watches, or are they maybe doing something different?
I don't know. As much as I hate Jesse Winker, it's 2-0, and so I'm forced to love Jesse Winker.
But doesn't the guy have to get to at least first base?
Apparently not.
Well, yeah, so Ventura did. He got to first. He was circling first, and everyone mobbed him before he got to second.
Okay, so if you hit a grand slam, and the three guys on base touch home plate, but you do not.
Four run, it's a grand bagger.
Well, it's at least a 3-run home run.
They gave him credit for all.
Yeah, but
no.
There
is proof, Rob, I know, that you don't need to touch.
I don't think that's the rule.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for this play now, and ultimately it was only ruled as a single, even though he should have been credited for a grand slam.
So the final was not 7-3. The final was 6-3?
Aftermath and legacy. Let's find out.
I am so confused right now. All I know is...
That's right. The broadcast basically said it's a 7-3 ball game, and officially the game went down as a 4-3 ball game.
4-3? They only counted one?
Huh. Yeah.
But they still counted one.
Okay, see?
Because he moved up a base, and so did everybody else. So
one base, yeah, because Ventura only took one base.
And all the guys who were on base, they got to the next base, which is what they have to do also. Yeah, yeah, and then they just called it there, I guess.
Okay.
By the way, that Winker shot was just a... absolute
moonshot,
powering shot.
It's all that tea.
That's what happens, man. It's all locked up in that, mullet of his. Oh, he stared at it for a while.
Get it.
Stared at it, flipped the bat.
He stood and stared. He's going to get dotted.
Probably.
I hope he gets dotted.
You know what? I don't really care if he gets hit.
How about some tensions rising in playoff baseball? Yeah. That's usually a regular season thing, but Dodgers Padres are kind of getting a little testy with each other.
Winker likes him some of that home run right there.
Royals and Yankees are getting testy.
Oh, absolutely.
That?
Yeah, it's getting good.
Chaz Chisholm said that the Royals got lucky last night.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he said that.
Careful there, fella.
Yeah.
And then your guy Michael Garcia is out there subtweeting Rodon for his little antics in the first inning.
He said, what did he say?
I can't remember what he said.
A little too early to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah, there it is.
Because he was going all high tea after two strikeouts, then he gave up four runs.
Dude, this is great, man. 4-2. I like a little animosity. Let's mix it up.
Douchebags.
You know, we have the advantage, though, because we have the Winker. You don't know what it's like, man. You don't know what it's like to have the Winker.
All right. Well, guys, we have made it to Oregon, Ohio State.
Yes, we have.
Week.
Speaking of high tea.
How about that? This is going to be so exciting this week, and we have a lot of content related to said football game. And it's going to start today. You're going to hear Dan Lanning. You're going to hear Chip Kelly. Dave Bartu's going to come by sometime in the next couple of days. Now, here's the thing. We don't have a Thursday program.
No. Seahawks.
So there's a lot of irons in the fire about how we're going to interview Dan Lanning this week.
But we will get him.
Oh, we're going to get him. We're going to get him.
Yeah.
We've got him.
Is when?
Yeah.
Oh, is he on the line?
No. He's not on the line
right now. Is he cooking on our grill?
I can tell you when our fan listeners will hear him.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
I'm confused, but
I'm cooking on your grill.
Well, it won't be Thursday.
No.
They will hear him Friday.
Friday, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a big week. Pretty big week. Pretty big game.
Pretty good.
True story.
Excited to talk about it with you. We will start with that next on The Fan. Yeah, I think Bar 2 is going to come on tomorrow. So buckle up.
Nice.
He's fired up.
They should be. It's the biggest game in odds in history. I mean, and I know Texas, Michigan was kind of billed. Georgia, Alabama. Georgia, Bama was really good and lived up to the hype. I mean, this is one of the biggest games. I don't know if I can say the biggest, but it's one of the biggest games of college football this season. Biggest game in Autzen Stadium history. Little history here. Played in the Rose Bowl a couple years ago. Oregon went to Ohio State, beat them with C.J. Stroud. It takes a little the edge off because I think both of these teams more than likely will end up in the playoff. But, I mean, this is why you move to the Big Ten playoffs. For games like this.
All right, here's our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you most pleasant sporting surprise over the weekend. 75% of you said all the college football upsets.
Yeah.
Only 12% said game day to Eugene. 7% MLB popping off. Mm. People not impressed with the great weekend that was on the diamond.
It was a great weekend.
And then Joe Flacco, 6%.
Well, he didn't win, but. You know.
No, but he put up 350 and three tutties.
He completed 33 passes compared to Anthony Richardson, who had 39 all year.
I think the number was since 2019, might have been later. Do you know what quarterback has the most 300-plus yard games with three touchdowns or more?
Joe Flacco.
Yeah, there's only one with four or more games like that, and it's Joe Flacco.
Isn't it interesting that this is the second year in a row that he's come in on supposedly a pretty solid team with a franchise quarterback and has played better than the franchise quarterback?
I mean, come on.
Just saying.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Today's question is this. To date, what is the most memorable game in Autzen Stadium history? Is it Oklahoma 2006.
That's the first one just off when you the moment you said that, that's the very first game that popped into my head.
Michigan 2003, Kenny Wheaton 1994, Civil War 2009. Now the Civil War was the game where
winner to the Rose Bowl.
The winner was going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
So you were able to keep the Beavers out of that game.
Came down to the very last play. Jeremiah Mazzoli lowered his helmet on Lance Mitchell, the safety, to get the first down and preserve the Ducks win.
37-33, I think, was the final
in
that game. Great game. You kept the Beavs out. And I think the Ducks hadn't been to the Rose Bowl for quite some time. So that was a big one. For me, it's that Oklahoma game. But I also remember the Michigan game. I was a little too... Well, Kenny Wheaton was in 94.
Yeah.
And I just... I don't know. I know that's a huge moment in Oregon history, perhaps even the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't remember it.
Yeah. I mean,
Oklahoma certainly comes to mind because of how the game, because of the fumble and everything that happened in that game. The Michigan game, I don't remember at all, except that I remember them hosting them and how big of a deal it was.
Yeah.
And they won, and that was huge. And I remember Lloyd Carr saying, oh, that's the loudest stadium I've ever played in. But I don't remember anything about the game.
Yeah, people are saying bringing up the USC game, the Halloween game, where they absolutely bludgeoned USC.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an old fashioned ass kicking.
But I think before that, we mentioned, or probably Trump, that one. That one was great because it had the atmosphere. It was a game day. USC was highly ranked.
Yeah. Someone's saying, you know, Oklahoma was 15 versus 18. 2014, Michigan State was 3 versus 7. I mean, there's a lot of these games.
Yeah, but do you remember that game?
I don't remember that game.
See, there's a lot of games like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what the most, the highest attendance for an Oregon game at Autzen is?
What do we got?
It's a game against, like, 18th ranked Arizona State. In, I don't know what it was, 2011, 2012, something like that. A totally random.
Yeah.
I mean, good matchup, good game, but.
Well, and as someone points out, I mean, the Wheaton game, that's more of a result. Like, that wasn't hyped.
But it's memorable.
It's memorable.
That's why I use the term memorable.
And a lot of people are going to do that's the turning point in the program, right? Because before that, you were definitely a little brother, and that kind of puts you on a different path. I don't know where you want to go with that most memorable. Most memorable to me, I'd either go with the Oregon State Rose Bowl game because it was fun for a couple years there, you know, where those games were for at least one team, you know, a Rose Bowl berth on the line, or in this case, both teams go. And there's nothing better than going to the Rose Bowl and keeping your rival out of it. And the Oklahoma game, that's the one that popped into my mind. I remember a couple years ago, I know it's not in Autzen Stadium, but I thought the Ohio State win from a couple years ago when they had C.J. Stroud and those great receivers. And, you know, I thought that was another kind of program. It's not defining because I think Oregon doesn't need that, right? The only thing that would define the Oregon program different than what it is now is by winning a national championship, right? Like Ohio State coming to your place and you beating them as the 2-3, while that's an enormous game, is it much different than going on the road? Is it less than going on the road and beating Ohio State without your best defensive player? And you didn't do it with a transfer seventh year All-American quarterback. You did it with Anthony Brown. And that team had all of that at Olave and Wilson. And I think Jackson Smith and Jigba might have been hurt at that one. I don't think he played much that year, if I remember correctly. But CJ Stroud, I mean, that team was loaded. And you went there, and not only did you beat them, I thought physically you beat up Ohio State. So even if you win this, I don't think it defines your program. I don't think you need to be defined. Like, unless you're just an anti-Duck guy, Oregon's a top 10-ish program year in and year out now. I mean, that's the expectation. You know, at least top 15 every year, and you've played for two national championships. I think the only thing that this program has left to do is win a national title, and beating Ohio State in this game, as awesome as it would be, I don't think it changes anything.
Well, that's why it's maybe not. I mean, this is certainly the biggest game that Autzen has ever hosted.
Yes.
Again, I'm trying to use my terms carefully. Memorable is different than biggest.
Biggest.
This is the biggest. This is going to be the most hyped.
Yes.
It's just, this
biggest
is
pregame hype, no doubt
this
about
is, it. This is enormous. But yeah. I think you're right in a sense that, one, Oregon's program has less to prove in a game like this now than they had 20 years ago. And the other thing about this game is they can lose this game.
And be fine.
The format in the postseason has changed to the point where even if they lose this game, it's going to be a fun game to play. These are the games you want to play at home, but it's not. It just doesn't have as much riding on it as some other games that we've mentioned. Like, for example, if you're going road games, say I was just trying to keep it to Autzen.
Yeah.
But if you go road games, that win at Michigan.
Yeah.
The game after, they lost to App State. You remember that? Oregon went in there and beat the crap out of them.
Thumped them. That was Dennis Dixon and company.
And I know some of the shine came off of that win because Michigan had just lost to App State. But again, we've talked about this before. They ended up a 9 or 10 win team that year, Michigan.
Yeah.
And just winning in the Big House, like that was a moment in time where it's like, wow. Oregon, for all this building that they've been doing as a program, they just went in and won by 3 touchdowns in the Big House. It's like a pinch yourself moment, right? Whereas if Oregon beats Ohio State on Saturday, I don't think anybody's going to be pinching themselves. They're going to be elated. This is fun. But they're only 4-point under. Like, this is a good matchup. These are the kind of matchups you want.
Yeah.
But it's not like a program-defining win if they win it. You know what I'm saying? Because they've already done that. They went to Columbus and did that.
You think about it. Like, you look at it. They've beat Oklahoma. All right, they've beat Michigan twice. They've beat Tennessee. They bludgeoned Tennessee. Honestly, if you
Florida
want
State,
Florida, that
Jameis
was
Winston.
That was mine. If you wanted to say one game where it was like, hey, we're no longer these aren't surprises, it would probably be that. In the Rose Bowl, in the semifinal, you took the defending national champion, Florida State Seminoles, who were undefeated, I believe 13-0, and you laid an old-fashioned ass-whipping on them. I mean, you bludgeoned them and then went on and obviously lost the national title. But like, does it get better than that?
It's like an evolution. You and I have been here long enough now.
Yes.
That we've kind of watched the whole thing develop.
Yep.
And one of them, like the first thing was, and this goes back to the Michigan game, why that's so memorable. That was 2003. You know, it was a big deal to get a blue blood like Michigan to come to Autzen Stadium.
You can still make the argument they hadn't arrived yet.
That was a huge deal. No, it was just amazing that Michigan was coming to town and you had to show the world what you were building at little old Oregon, right? Yep. And they did. They won.
And they did it in bright-ass yellow uniforms. And that was the other thing.
Lloyd Carr came out and was like really complimentary of the stadium and everything. And it's like, that was the first one, right? Get a blue blood to come to your house and show them who's boss, right? They did that. They did that again a couple years ago, Oklahoma, right? Or a couple years later, sorry. When Oklahoma, they won that game.
Yep. Kind of. But
with some help. Then it's kind of this sense of, okay, well, you did it at home. Now you need to do it on the road. That's why I bring up the Michigan win. Then it's like, okay, well, you need to start winning some bigger games, like some postseason games. We got to win the Rose Bowl. Well, they beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
Then the evolution is, okay, now you're going to Ohio State, regular season game in Columbus. Okay, now let's see you win that kind of game.
You beat them up.
And you did that one.
Yep.
So you're right. The only thing really left here is to finish this bitch off.
That's it.
But the evolution has been interesting of different games that we look back on, Kenny Wheaton being one of the main ones, that are just program defining or that stand out as games in the process that sort of earmark a new stair step up, you know? And Oregon, this game doesn't have that element. But that doesn't take anything away from it. No. It's still a huge game. And maybe it's 45-44 in triple overtime, and it does become one of the most memorable games in Autzen Stadium history.
Yeah.
But if it's not a great game, this one may not
just kind of
be on the list.
And you're going to see it every year. So.
Yeah. Well, something like it every year.
Well, yeah. Oregon, Ohio State will play most years. So.
All right. Well, there's your poll question. Vote to date. What is the most memorable game in Autzen Stadium history? Oklahoma 2006, Michigan 2003, Kenny Wheaton 1994, or Civil War 2009? That poll question is on X at 1080 The Fan. We're back with initial thoughts on the game when we return. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So we are talking Oregon, Ohio State. You're going to hear everything Dan Lanning said about Ohio State last night coming up in a bit.
And both sides are being very complimentary because both teams are really, really good.
Wait, they're not talking trash?
No, no.
Let me tell you, I listened to all 15 or 16 sound bites from Dan Lanning, and the man is very buttoned up this week.
Yes.
No way.
Close to the vest.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the evolution of program-defining wins at Oregon. It's kind of interesting to see that, you know, we were talking about the most memorable games at Autzen, you know, Michigan and Oklahoma, in the early to mid 2000s. And then you move on to road wins at Michigan. You move on to then big playoff wins, Florida State, win a Rose Bowl, a couple Rose Bowls.
Yeah.
And then, and you play for a couple championships, don't get those, but then you, a couple years ago, you win at Ohio State, just like different, you know, program defining wins. One that we didn't put in there that might be worth mentioning, a couple of people have brought up, is the game at at Autzen against Stanford.
Yeah.
In 2010.
There were some great ones.
Because the Jim Harbaugh and Stanford was kind of the kryptonite to what Oregon did. Mm-hmm. Remember, everybody here was pretty sensitive about, oh, Stanford would just punch you in the mouth. They're more like they're built like the Big Ten SEC teams, and you can't beat those teams. And Harbaugh came in here, and I don't know I know that the score was 31-24 at half, Stanford.
And even earlier than that, it was 21-3 Stanford.
Yeah, and I remember that. And I remember that everybody being like, oh boy, here we go. And then Oregon outscored him 28-0 in the second half and beat him 52-31.
Yeah.
That was a big one to kind of get that sort of Stanford monkey off your back, because at that time, that was a heated battle with Stanford.
When I remember growing up, like, obviously, you know, I was raised in the church, and so BYU was a big deal. I remember in 1990, BYU was like 3 or 4 in the country, and Ty Detmer was Ty Detmer had won the Heisman Trophy and was back, and they came into Autzen Stadium as a top 4 team in the country, and Oregon got him good.
Someone on the Vancouver 4 text line said that was the highest ranked home win in Ducks history.
Yeah, so there you go.
I'm not sure what the ranking was, but they said BYU 1990 was
the highest ranked team that they beat
at home.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I said, they were top 5. I want to say they were 3 or 4.
Was USC ever number one when they?
They. I mean, I was there when USC was number one and beat the brakes off of Oregon with Reggie Bush. But I don't know that they've. I mean, they've beat USC when they've been, I think, a top 10 team, but I don't think a top 5 team.
So, yeah, it's just it's one of those where I think. Win or lose in this game, I think most rational Duck fans, it's a little bit like we've been there, we've done that. And you should. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's a good thing. I'm not saying not to storm the field or whatever, but I don't know. Dare I say that if you fancy yourself the program that I think you do, these should be expected wins. Like when you're the number 3 team in the country and you're playing at home, you expect to win. I don't think this should be one of those like, oh my God, we beat Ohio State. It should be more along the lines of, we think we're a national title team. We're playing at home. We should win this game. Because I promise you, when Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia plays at home against whoever it is, Alabama was playing Georgia and they were an underdog for the first time in Bryant Denny in how many years? It was like 20 years.
A long time.
Long time. But I promise you, Alabama didn't go into that game thinking to themselves, well, it'd be nice if we got one. That's no, right. There's an expectation.
And
so,
it also doesn't say anything about you if you lose.
No.
Maybe you're not quite as good as Ohio State yet this year, but there's a lot of football to play. And
well, I have tried to break down this game a thousand different ways, and I've gone over matchups, and I haven't seen all of Ohio State. I've seen every play that Oregon has played, and I've seen a good hunk of Ohio State. And I think you can point to some advantages on both sides, but I don't think there's one overwhelming, like one matchup that I can point to and say, this is the difference in the game. The one thing I'll say is Oregon's biggest advantage in the game is you're at home and they don't lose these games at Autzen Stadium very, very much. That's a huge advantage playing in front of a very, very raucous crowd. And I think Ohio State's big advantage is that they just have been playing better. So if you say that both teams are uber talented, now give us edge at quarterback to Oregon, although it's very close. You know, D-lines and O-lines, very good. I think there's a slight advantage, especially along the O-line to Ohio State. Very good receivers, good DBs, like all of those things, right? I just think when I look at Ohio State has been playing better football. Oregon has looked more along trying to figure things out. So if I'm giving an advantage, Ohio State's biggest advantage, I'd say it's that. Is just that they have looked better so far against lesser competition. Even the one common opponent they have, Michigan State's a very similar result.
Yeah, I don't know how much that matters for me. If I'm looking at this game, I think the excitement of this game is that both teams are really, really talented.
Yeah.
And we don't really know how good either of them is because, or either of them are. Sorry,
haven't really been tested.
Because they haven't really been tested. And so it's fun to lace them up and just see what happens. I can't quite get my head to a place where I believe that Oregon is as talented as Ohio State.
Yeah.
They may be. I don't know. We're going to have Bartu on probably tomorrow, and I can't wait to hear what he says about this. I know Ohio State's loaded, but everybody's been telling me how loaded Oregon is. Mm-hmm. And I know they haven't played as well, but that doesn't matter to me as much as, hey, how much talent is out there on the field on Oregon's side compared to Ohio State's? And I don't know if this is right, but and maybe this is just why they're 4-point favorites, and this is it. It basically boils down to this. Ohio State just has just a little bit more talent than Oregon. I happen to think that that's probably true.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. It doesn't mean Oregon can't win.
Yeah.
It's just this is not – like, I still don't know that they're quite even with a school like Ohio State. That's hard for me to believe that they are, even though people have been telling us how great they've been doing in recruiting.
I would tend to agree. I think the gap is certainly closed, but overall, I would tend to agree. I think Ohio State is slightly more talented.
And I don't know where that would show up. Maybe depth?
Depth, I think at the receiver position. Like, I know Oregon's receiver room is ridiculous, but outside of Tez Johnson, I think Oregon has a little bit of a tendency to be Tez heavy, where Ohio State spreads it out a little bit more. I think Ohio State, I mean, Oregon has very good backs. I think Ohio State, the two backs they have are better pure runners.
They're stellar. They average 7.9 yards a carry, those two guys.
And we've seen Oregon get bogged down at times. We haven't really seen Ohio State get bogged down at times, though I thought Iowa did a nice job in the first half, but Ohio State still ran roughshod through a very, very good defense. So, like I said, there's a few things that I lean slight towards Ohio State. The one I think that could be interesting in this is I think Oregon's D-line if Oregon wins, I think it'll be their defensive line. This is the sort of game that I think you've been building towards with this O-line, and I thought I would have said this about the O-line, but I just can't, even though it's gotten better. The one thing that gives me a lot of confidence for Oregon is that D-line. The one thing that scares the life out of me for Oregon is the offensive line, because we've seen the offensive line the last couple weeks look really good since making the shift, but they've also played against bad fronts. This front they're playing against Ohio State is completely different, and I'm not certain that those early problems we saw in the run game and certainly in pass protection, I'm not certain that those have been cleaned up against a team like Ohio State. Was it a product of, did you really clean them up, or were you just playing bad
teams?
Well,
isn't that the beauty of playing a team like Ohio State?
You find out.
Is that you will find out. Yeah. And I think that's what is kind of... There's some trepidation there on the Oregon side, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Because you know you've recruited well, you know you got good players, but when you've seen some leaks in the offensive line and then these boys come rolling in, you're like, oh boy.
It's different.
And so that's where Joey Harrington, we've talked to him a couple weeks about moving the pocket and, you know, sort of really keeping the defense off balance so they can't just pin their ears back and kill your quarterback.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff and coaching and everything, it all goes into the soup, and it's going to be great to see the chess match and all the different matchups. But you're right. If there's one area where the one-on-one matchups, you kind of go,
it worries me.
I hope Oregon holds up. It's on both lines.
Yeah.
And so maybe both defense. See, to me, and I know nothing. You know that. We all know that. And I hate pregame prognostic. Nobody knows what the hell's going to happen. Yeah. But looking at this game, it sure feels like it could be a defensive battle.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe take the under.
Well, I don't know about that. What is the over-under?
I haven't looked.
But that's probably
56 and a half.
56.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I was going to say, that's probably reflected in the line.
Yeah.
You know, Vegas isn't stupid. All right, we got a run. Coming up next, we'll move on initially from the Oregon-Ohio State game. We'll get back to that. But Robert Saleh escorted out by the Jets next on The Fan. All right. I'm not going to look now. I want to talk about Robert Saleh.
Miller just got chased, walked too straight.
Yeah, dude, you should be sleeping easy.
I'm not sleeping easy.
The Mets look good.
I'm not sleeping easy. Not doing it.
I know that's hard to do, but I'm telling you, man.
You can't see under the table, but I've got the... Do you ever get the happy feet where just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
You got a little...
I was doing it all day yesterday at the casino.
I got a little...
Boy, it didn't sound like it. It seemed like you had ice in your veins getting punched
everybody. You were talking trash.
Well, that's all just deflecting.
Feeling yourself.
Isn't that...
Fake bravado, right?
Yeah, isn't that like... Yeah.
I don't know. You seem like you were in a really good zone.
That's a defense mechanism. Yeah. Well, I was giving crap to Jake, our resident Yankee fan, who happened to be sitting right next to me.
He was hating you yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't like that.
You got up in his kitchen.
Yeah,
I sure did. And I think he's still thinking about me, which is exactly what I want.
Yeah, you're living rent-free now.
But I got to tell you, I feel good about the Royals. Yeah. I mean, that Yankees, they're fine. But that was kind of an easy win. And now we got Lugo going.
It was a lucky win.
Get out of here, man.
My man Chaz said as much.
Get out of here, man.
So it's lucky.
So the Jets have fired Robert Saleh. If you didn't, if you didn't see that news, we woke up to that.
Yeah, they were saying, "Oh God, I think he's hit into a Okay, I thought he hit into a double play. No, force out. Yeah, they were saying that no one saw it coming. They said front office, players, everybody, coaching staff, and then old Woody, who is sneaky top three worst owners in the NFL.
Yeah, he's like the new Dan Schneider.
Yeah, dude, he's awful. He came out and said that flat out this was his decision alone, and it sounds like that's correct. Sounds like no one saw this coming.
Yeah, Robert Saleh, 2-3 with the Jets this year.
Yep.
And 20-36 overall there.
Well, it's just for a team that's going all in, and I mean, all the chips are pushed to the middle. I mean, the GM is going to get fired at the end of this year anyways. It just seems like an odd thing, unless you believe that by firing Saleh, it lights a fire into someone's ass. They promoted from within, right? They're just going with the interim guy.
Jeff Ulbrich.
Yeah. Do you really think that you're going to win a Super Bowl this way? It's a weird thing for a team that is all in right now with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I disagree. I think it goes the other way. I think it's always, I was thinking about this with respect to first coach fired odds.
Yeah.
First coach fired odds are always interesting because there's always value on a guy who you can't see getting fired because you think the team's going to be good.
Yeah.
But he's the first guy that's going to get fired because the team is supposed to be good.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened with Woody Johnson. It's like, if the Jets are supposed to be a middling team or they don't have a quarterback or, XYZ, he's probably not firing Robert Saleh. But because the expectation with Rodgers back was the Jets better get to the playoffs and better be good and they look terrible, These owners, they want to salvage the season, and I honestly don't blame him. He knows he's got a decent roster. He's got Rodgers. It's not working. It's like, well, if I do it now, maybe we can salvage something. I don't know if it's the right decision, but I see why he did it. I think it's bullsh to not tell your GM and have your GM do it.
Yeah.
But that's why Woody Johnson sucks. I just I don't know, man. I think because like last year, I was looking at the NBA coach fired odds. There's a base hit. See the timely hits, dude. They're so good at that.
Well, they got two out, and I was like, crap, they're not going to get one across. But
Starling Marte,
yeah, Marte,
he's got clutch vibes. I like him.
They all do.
You know, Marte, by the way, active leading steals leader in Major League Baseball.
Is that right?
Yeah, he has more steals than any player currently active.
So the Mets are now up 4-0 in the sixth. They're cruising, dude.
Oh yeah, I'll relax when this game's over.
Have you heard the two theories about Woody Johnson and the whole Jets situation? There's the one that he used to be an ambassador to the UK, and Eric Mangini said last week, "Watch out if he goes to over to London and loses in front of a bunch of his friends, he's going to come back really ticked off." Well,
but at the same time, like, so Saul isn't in charge of the offense, right?
Nope,
just not. And so the last two games, you've given up 10 and you've given up 23. And by the way, your quarterback threw three picks, including a pick six.
Yeah, I think Hackett.
Well, but that's my
point. So that's the other theory, too, is that apparently Saleh was going to show up and demote Hackett, and word got out, and about 5 minutes after word got out, Woody Johnson called up Saleh and fired him before Saleh could make a change at OC.
Well, it makes no sense to me in that you've given up 17. So take the 49ers loss out of it, which was week one. You just, Rodgers looked terrible. You didn't look good. You've given up 17-3, 10 and 23, and seven of those were on a pick six, and you gave him two other turnovers. Like, I'm sorry, the part of the job that Robert Saleh is in charge of is not the problem.
Yeah, he did it pretty well.
So, I mean, if you want to sit there and say that Saleh has lost the team, but that certainly doesn't sound like the case, or you want, like, honestly, the biggest...
They had some pretty bad vibes.
Well, then maybe... Then
how much
maybe
of that
that's
Rodgers,
all,
though?
Then maybe this just cures it. I don't understand... If this is the all-in... Go get Davante Adams and hope that Saleh can figure it out. But making this change at this point and then thinking that you're going to make a magical turnaround on offense, I don't know.
First of all, it's part and parcel with what bad owners do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But
didn't even consult the GM.
No, it's bad. This is a bad franchise practice.
Yes.
But at the same time, I see why he did it. There are real bad vibes around that team.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what if Rodgers is more the problem? Well, you can't fire Rodgers.
That's true.
You can't.
So somebody's got to go. Now, I thought Hackett would be the guy, but...
He should have been.
Well, but he's a Rodgers guy, yeah. Right? Doesn't Rodgers back
that's
Hackett?
Just it. He was going to... I mean, it sounded like... Like, Saleh almost lit the fuse by going to fire Hackett, and they're like, no, let's just jump ahead of this before we get all that upset.
But, and you replaced Robert Saleh with his defensive coordinator. Like, I'm telling you, the problem is, from watching the Jets, the problem is they have a antiquated offense. And
Hackett?
With Hackett, and they have a guy in Aaron Rodgers who is not playing that well. And the system that he's playing in, like, Aaron Rodgers wants to run this NFL offense from 5 or 6 years ago where he's in total control in this quick little game that he's got going on. And the game, I'm not going to say that it's passed him by, but when you look at what the good offenses are doing around the NFL and the structure in which they're playing, this is not the Jets. I think they're trying to live on Aaron Rodgers from 5 years ago with Hackett, and this isn't Aaron Rodgers. That Aaron Rodgers is not walking through the building. And dare I say it, the last couple of weeks, one of the biggest problems with this team is indeed Aaron Rodgers. And so, I mean, maybe firing Hackett is not an option because Rodgers, and he goes south after all that. Robert Saleh was not the issue there, and this does not solve their problems.
I don't think we know that. I think it's possible that Robert Saleh was the issue, and Ulbricht comes in, and everybody looks better. There's a weight off your shoulder. Like, this is happening with Sirianni in Philly. Like, sometimes the coach and the vibe comes from the head coach. I don't know if that's true, but I think that's probably where Woody Johnson was going with this. But Rodgers has been bad. He threw three picks in London. But I just, these guys like Hackett, I just will never understand why they continue to get jobs.
Because of Aaron Rodgers?
I really don't get it. And there's a lot of guys in the business that just over and over suck and over get embarrassed and fired and move on, and yet they continue to get rehired. It blows me away. And Nathaniel Hackett's near the top of that list.
Yeah. Well, and just next time you watch the Jets offense, look at the good offenses and the shifts and the motions and the play action and everything that's going into it and the window dressing, and then watch the Jets play and tell me if you don't see an alarming difference in the way the Jets play offense and everyone else. And again, I think one of the problems is Aaron Rodgers still thinks that he can control and manipulate everything at the line of scrimmage, and he's in total control, and it's just not there anymore. And until they address that issue right there, it doesn't matter who the head coach is.
Sounds like Saleh was trying.
Yeah.
Damn, and then they turfed him.
They turfed him.
And walked him out.
Yeah. Which, by the way, seriously?
Escorted him out.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him talk to any of the staff. They wouldn't let him talk to any of the players. They escorted him out. That is such a horse crap look for an organization, and you're going to end up with bad candidates. A couple years ago, remember like the Browns and what they had to settle for? That's how you end up with, God, who was that guy? Was it Chudzinski or something?
Rob Chudzinski.
That's how you end up with dudes like that, because anyone that's worth their weight wants nothing to do with your organization.
All right, more NFL next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.